John chapter 3. The message today is the love of the Father for the Son. I will read from John's Gospel. Seven passages. John 3, verse 35. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. Chapter 5. Verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel. Chapter 10. Verse 17. Therefore doth the Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. Chapter 15. Verse 9. Even as the Father hath loved me, I also have loved you. Abide ye in my love. Chapter 17, verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that thou didst send me, and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Verse 26, And I made known unto them thy name, and will make it known, that the love wherewith you love me may be in them, and I in them. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we are thankful for the secret things that you tell us about a world with which we are unfamiliar. Let us know that you've given us spirits, our God, and in those spirits, thy spirit whispers things to us. There is an awareness that we are not our own. We are aware, our God, that we have not made ourselves, but there is a supreme being. We are thankful also that thy Spirit doth tell us all things essential for salvation. But our God, thou dost know that the things that we've read this morning, we would never know them unless they had been revealed to us. And we desire to understand them better. Your love, Father, for your Son. Thou dost know the abundance of the passages that we read. And therefore, our God, there is a delight for you to make known to all who will read of your love for your Son. and by thy Spirit, our God, may thy Spirit take the things of Christ and reveal them unto us, especially this morning of the love of the Father for the Son. We thank you for the blessings of the past week, and thou dost know our sins and shortcomings and failures. And so, our God, we confess those sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. It was necessary, as I brought to your attention last week, for the Lord Jesus to ask Simon Peter, "Do you love me?" And it required someone with omniscience to know accurately, to know truly whether Peter loved him. And Peter was willing to be searched and tried, and the answer to be acceptable when he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." So the Lord Jesus accepts the testimony of Peter, even though the life that he lived on occasions blatantly denied that he loved the Lord Jesus. But this morning, one thing is certain, that we do not have to ask if the Father loves his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. If I read it to you once, it would be enough. But I read it to you 7 times that the Father loves the Son. Think of the greatness and the importance of this truth, that the Father loves the Son, that he would tell us 7 times that he loves the Son. And therefore, we are forever without excuse if we aren't certain that the Father loves the Son. 7 times in the Gospel of John alone, but then I can show you 12 other references in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and in the epistles, that the Father also loves the Son. But what is so remarkable is the way that the love of the Father for the Son is brought out in John and is brought out in a different way in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Think for a moment, all the references that I read to you, they consist of 6 references when Jesus tells us that the Father loves him, and the first reference when John, who wrote this gospel, tells us that the Father loves him. So the Father nowhere in John's gospel tells us he loves the Son. We are told, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son." But you do not read in John's gospel that the Father tells us he loves the Son. Is that not a strange thing? And yet, 7 times we are told that the Father loves the Son, and John in his gospel is inspired to write, "The Father loves the Son," and the Lord Jesus tells us 6 times that the Father loves the Son. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it is not the Son telling us the Father loves him, but it is the Father telling the Son that he loves him. Do you remember? And perhaps next week I'll tell you about those references when the Father says from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son." You see, the Father uses the same word and he says, "You are my beloved Son. You are my Son whom I love." And then he tells us again in chapter 12, and he tells us again in chapter 17, "This is my beloved Son." And for this reason, the world cannot understand about the Bible and how it is written. Because I'm thinking that if I knew that heaven was open and the Father himself said, "This is my beloved Son," I would have to record that. But John, who knew as much as Matthew and Mark and Luke, never tells us one time that the Father said, "This is my beloved Son." And Matthew, who would know, never tells us that the Son told 6 times that the Father loves me. The Father loves the Son. And so you have to simply read the Bible, understand how truth is presented, and accept it that way. And do not sit in judgment on the authors of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and the author of John, for telling us the way that God loves the Son. They tell us this way, and you look upon it this way. Now, in John's Gospel, John tells us, first of all, the Father loves the Son. And then, 6 times after that, the Son says, "The Father loves me." 1 time, "The Father loves me." That's in John chapter 10. The other times, "The Father loveth the Son." So, what is of the greatest importance is this, that the Lord Jesus knew of the love of his Father for himself. And what God would have us to know is the same truth of the Father's love for us as it is brought out in one of these references of the Father's love for the Son. There was never any doubt that the Father loved him. Jesus said it 6 times. But there was one occasion when our Savior said something so strange when he was on the cross, and he said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" How could one who was so certain of the Father's love for him say on the cross, "Why have you forsaken me?" He did not say there, "You do not love me," but "Knowing that you do love me, why have you forsaken me?" And perhaps that will be explained to us when we consider that reference in John chapter 10. But what God would convey to us over and over again is that he loves his Son. And John tells us of that love, and the Lord Jesus tells us of that love. And so the study this morning is the love of the Father for the Son. Whenever these references are mentioned, they are not repetitious, but when one is mentioned, an additional truth is given. We are made to think of that love in a particular way and isolate that way or expand that way, depending on the truth that is associated with God telling us that he loves his Son. Now, the first is when John, the disciple who wrote the Gospel, tells us the first time about the love of the Father for the Son. This is what he says in John 3:35. He says, "The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand." Notice, he says, the Father loves the Son, but having said that, he says, he has given all things into his hand. And that should make us think of what that servant of Abraham told the house of Laban when he went to seek a bride for Isaac. He says, "My master has a son. This is an only begotten son." And he says, "He has given him all that he has." He has a son, yes, and all the possessions that Abraham has, he has given to his son. And it says in John 3:35, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. As in the case of Abraham and his son Isaac, so in the case of the Father and the Son. Notice, early, not at the beginning, not at the end, but at the beginning, we are told the Father has given all things into his hand. Three times we read about the Father giving things to the Son, at the first of Matthew and at the last of Matthew. Listen, what it says is this. In Matthew 11, he says, "All things have been delivered unto me. All things are given unto the Son." And it says in Matthew chapter 28, "All power is given unto me. All authority is given unto me." So when we read of the love of the Father, we read that the Father has given all things unto the Son. One time, two times, three times. But that's not enough, because we read elsewhere about the Son having all things given into his hand, and the Savior says, "All power is given unto me." And he says, "The Father hath delivered all things unto the Son." So here is the Father, and he's given everything, whether it consists of power, glory, esteem, whatever it is, all that is becoming to a Son who is one with the Father has given to him. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 1. It says that the Father has made Christ head over all things to the church. So here he is head over all things to the church. And Peter tells us in Acts chapter 10 that Christ is Lord of all. So with this love, we have things associated with it, and the things associated is the preeminence that the Father is determined that his Son shall have, that in all things Christ should have the preeminence. And if you look at the Son and see that all things are his, and notice, it says he's given all things into his hand. Therefore, he disposes of the things the way he will. He arranges things the way he will. He gives things the way he will. Why? Because all things are given into his hand. And the Father wants us to know that. In the Old Testament, it says this, "My times are in thy hand." And we say, thank God, our times, the dispositions of life, the occurrences of life, whatever we experience, they are in the hand of God. He is the one that disposes of life and its occurrences. They are in his hand. And in the New Testament, it says that all things are delivered, are given into the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. So think a moment of the things that are in his hand. It says in Revelation chapter 1, he says, "I am the first and the last and the living one, and I have the keys of death and of hell." And then it says, "I have the key of David." He said, "I open and no one shuts, and I shut and no one opens." And so the key of David is in his hand, and also the keys of death and of hell are in his hand. And so when it says the Father has given all things in his hand, we have to search the rest of the New Testament to find out what all these things are. And they are marvelous things. And therefore, we understand that Christ does have the preeminence, and God has determined that he shall have the preeminence, and no one can take the glory that the Father has bestowed upon the Son, the gifts that the Father has bestowed upon the Son. Nobody can take them away from them. They belong to Christ. And this one is introduced to us by John the first time as saying, the Father loves the Son, yes, and we think of the Father loving the Son, and what is the result of that? He has given all things into His hand. So immediately when Christ is introduced, He is introduced as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and as Peter says, He is Lord of all. He is head over all to the church. That's the way that He's first introduced to us in John chapter 3. Now, in John chapter 5, the Savior starts telling us about the love of the Father for the Son. He says, the Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth. And greater things than these will He show Him, that you may marvel. Notice, in John chapter 5, the same thing is said, the Father loves the Son, but in this instance, it's not His giving into the hand of the Son, but it is the Father showing all things to the Son. When the Lord Jesus became incarnate, even though as God He knows all things, as Son, the Father told Him all things and showed Him all things, and there was nothing in time that He did not show His Son and tell His Son. And this is what our Savior is telling us in chapter 5. The Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He does. Therefore, the Son knows perfectly the will of the Father, because the Father has shown Him His will, and He says this, that when the Father shows Him His will, He performs that will. Greater things than these will He show Him, that you may marvel. And when the Father shows His Son, the Son shows the world. Every miracle, every discourse, every explanation about heaven, every explanation about the secret things of eternity, all of these things the Father shows the Son, and the Father tells the Son, and the Savior, and it is almost a sacrilege, He tells us these secret things, and because of that, it is His love for us that makes Him tell us those things. Why does the Father tell the Son? Because the Father loves me. That's why He tells me. And the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 15, no longer do I call you servants, because I made known unto you all things that the Father told me. I have called you friends. No longer servants, but I have called you friends, because all that the Father has shown me and told me, I have made known unto you. Think of this, that because the Father loves the Son, the Father has told the Son, and because the Son says, you are my friend, He says, therefore, I am telling you all these things. And God said the same thing in the Old Testament about Abraham. As Abraham had given all things to his son, the Father says concerning Abraham, shall I hide from Abraham that which I am about to do, seeing? And He goes on and gives a glowing description of Abraham and his worthiness. And so the Lord Jesus says that the Father shows me all things because He loves me. And the Father says concerning Abraham, I am telling Abraham, I am showing Abraham everything because he is worthy to receive these revelations. And the Lord Jesus says, the Father shows me all of these things, and He's going to show me greater things than these. I remember telling an old brother who, and many people believe this, that because the Lord Jesus is the Son, the eternal Son, the Father communicates truth to Him. And this old brother told me, yes, I believe that the Father told the Son all things in eternity, all of them at one time. I said, well, read the rest of the verse. It says, and greater things shall He show him. Will He show him? Did He show him all things at one time? And as I recall, the brother said, I never noticed that before. And so here, It is not the eternal revelation of the Father to the Son, even though those things might be true concerning the oneness of the Son with the Father. But as the incarnate Son, the Son said, I can do nothing of myself. And he says, the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. The Son knows nothing of himself, and he does nothing of himself. But the Father tells him all things and instructs him in all things. And this is what the Savior says in John chapter 8. He says, therefore does my Father love me, because I do always the things that are pleasing to him. He learns in John chapter 8 what the Father does. It says, he shows me all things. He tells me all things. And the things that he has shown and told me, I do those things, and I always please my Father. And so the Lord Jesus is the only one who has ever said, in truth, I do always those things that please my Father. You and I have to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We have to confess our sin. The Lord Jesus never had any sins to confess. He never had any failure to confess. He never had any regrets in his heart because he said, Father, you have told me to do this, but I've left it undone. Forgive me, Father. The Lord Jesus said, I do always those things that are pleasing to my Father. And because the Father loves the Son, he shows him everything that he does. He does not do it all at one time, because he says, greater things than these will he show him, that you may marvel. And so the Father at times shows his Son about opening blind eyes, about healing vile lepers. And then in the future he shows him how to raise the dead. He shows him about raising of Lazarus. And therefore, people, when they see these miracles, can do one of two things. They will have to do one of two things. They will have to marvel, because when a dead man is called forth from the tomb, they have to marvel, but they do not have to believe. But some see that and they believe in the miracle that the Father has given the Son to perform. And the Lord Jesus says that, because the Father loves me, he shows me everything. He makes known to me the complete will that he has. And having shown it to me, I do that will. And he says, I tell you the things that the Father has told me. How marvelous. Now, in John chapter 10, our Savior gives us a reason as to why the Father loves him. He says, therefore doth the Father love me, because I lay down my life. He's told us earlier, I lay down my life for the sheep. He speaks about good shepherds, and he speaks about the hireling shepherd. Concerning that hireling, it says, he sees the wolf coming, and he flees, and he leaves the sheep to the wolves, and the wolves come and destroy them. But the Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep, rather than let the wolf even devour one of the sheep. The Lord Jesus lays down his life. In this instance, he's like David in the Old Testament. David was a shepherd. He was a king shepherd, but also he was a shepherd of literal sheep. And this was a confession that he made, and people had not known it. But he tells Saul, when Saul says, you are not able to go and fight Goliath. He said, why, your servant was keeping sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and tried to take one of those sheep, he said, I killed that lion and that bear. And he said, this uncircumcised Philistine shall be one of them as well. So we understand that David was a shepherd, and when the lion and the bear came to destroy the sheep, he did not flee, but he fought those beasts. But his life was spared. But in this instance, the Lord Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. The only way to save their lives, was to give His life. He could overcome Satan with power because He had all that power. But the only way that He could redeem us from the penalty of sin was to lay down His life. And He, as the shepherd, knew that. And He loved the sheep. And He laid down His life for the sheep. And the Father is not unaware of this sacrificial love. It says, therefore does the Father love me. Why? He said, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. The Father looks at the 12 apostles, and Judas betrays Him for 30 pieces of silver. And Peter boasts that he will never forsake the Lord. And the others say the same thing. And it said that when He was arrested, they all forsook Him and fled. And so the sheep forsook the shepherd, but the shepherd did not forsake the sheep. He laid down His life. When He could have escaped, they came. The soldiers came with lanterns and with torches, and they came with weapons. And the Lord Jesus went forth and said, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am He. And when He said that, they went back and fell to the ground. And the Lord Jesus had to go and place Himself in their hands. He said, whom do you seek? Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am He. And then they laid hands on Him and took Him and crucified Him. And it says that the Father, when He saw that, the sacrificial love of the Lord Jesus says, therefore does my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I may take it again. And so not only the death of Christ, but the resurrection of Christ is involved in the Father's love. And why does He take that life again? For the goodness and the welfare of the sheep for whom He laid down that life. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so He loves His sheep and He lays down His life for them. And then He takes His life again, and the life that He lives, He ever lives to make intercession for the saints. And the Father examines the life of the Son, and He says, therefore does my Father love me, because I have sacrificial love. He told the disciples this. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He said, you are my friends if you'll do the things that I command you. But it turns out that Christ laid His life down not only for His friends, but it says that even when we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. And so this is why the Father loves the Son. He loves the Son because of His inherent goodness, but He loves the Son also because of the life, the deeds that He performed in this world. So these are some of the reasons that God has told us through His Son that the Father loves the Son. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are so glad that You have told these things that we could never know about Your Son. We can understand why You would love Him. But our Father, that You would tell us so often that You love Him, and so many things that You've done because You love Him. The great variety of the ways. We marvel at this, our God. And therefore, let us rejoice in the knowledge that the Father loves the Son. And also, Father, that love with which You love the Son, You love us. Our God, You commended Your love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But now that we have been saved, how great is that love. And we rejoice, Father, that Your love for the Son is the measure of Your love for us. And so we thank You for the love of the Son, and we thank You for Your love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.